Hey guys, welcome back to
Slasher Sisters.
Today is episode 14, and we were going to do haunted cases or cases that had to do with ghosts. Well, my case is creepy, but it doesn't have to do with hauntings. I'm sorry. Ryan's case, though, sounds like it's got more of a hauntish vibe.
Yeah.
So anyway, grab a snack, grab a drink, sit down and get ready to hear some spooky, spooky stuff. And remember, don't be a murderer. So, Ryan, would you like to go first or would you like me to go first?
I'll go first because I'm curious about yours. I feel like you've kind of heard about mine. So.
All right, I'm excited. Go ahead and tell me all about your Hauntalicious case.
Can I get that on a t-shirt, please?
Yes, of course. With my face. With my face, like, in a circle, and I'm just like, and it just says, Hauntalicious, yes.
There's no context whatsoever.
Yes, it's just, love it.
Okay.
Bible. It's a Kardashian thing. You wouldn't understand.
Wig. Yeah, no, that's okay.
Crap, what does wig mean?
Wig. What does it mean? If you don't know, then you don't know.
Oh, I don't like not knowing.
I'll look it up later.
All of us, meaning Ryan, we are on Apple Podcasts now. I actually got an email that said we are, so I guess we weren't, but now we are, which Apple Podcasts, I think, is where you can leave comments and reviews. So if you can, leave a review. Okay, back to the programming.
Yep. Okay, so this is on the Eastern State Penitentiary.
Ooh, like Easter Island? No.
Good sound effect, though. I feel like you're like little peanut gallery. Okay, so the Eastern State Penitentiary became a prototype in design to 300 prisons. So it's basically like this big building, big expensive building. Apparently the most expensive building in the U.S. Or it was at the time.
It's a jail?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Basically,
where is it at?
It's in Pennsylvania.
Oh, so like over by New York. Okay.
I'm going to go with yes. I'm not very good at like geography or anything. I should know this,
but I don't. I think Pennsylvania is by New York, but I'm honestly not sure. So anyway.
We sound like such dumbasses right now.
So whatever. Okay. You didn't come here to learn about geography.
So the facility was operated under the Pennsylvania system from 1829 to 1913. The system used by Quakers was designed to force incorrigibles sent there to look inside themselves and find God. In reality, the system placed inmates in complete solitude and most of them were driven insane.
They were being tortured, basically.
Yeah, basically they were being tortured. There's probably more to this whole, like, find God thing, but...
So, well, the Quakers were, like, the super religious, like, beat you if you don't believe in God, like, whatever.
Yeah.
So, to them, I guess, like, not believing in God, like, was...
Probably the illegal. Worst thing. Yeah.
You had to go to jail. That's crazy. Wow. And then, instead of trying to make you better, they just isolate you and drive you insane. Fun stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
So prisoners at the Eastern State, they had a toilet, a table, a bunk, and a Bible in their cells, of course. So they were locked in their cells for like the whole entire day except for 1 hour. When the prisoners did leave their cells, a black hood would be placed over their head so that they couldn't see any other prisoners, and they were guided through the halls of the prison. So it was literally, you're not allowed to see anybody. An interaction between the inmates was forbidden. And if you had any interaction, it was, like, you could get severely punished for it.
Mm. Quick question. I know that you can't do this, but if you were able to choose, like, you get one book, and it doesn't have to be the Bible, what book would you choose,
What book would I choose?
So I was thinking about that, and I was like, man, personally, I'd rather have, like, the Harry Potter book, like, one of the Harry Potter books rather than a Bible, because I would actually read it.
That,
and I'd find more comfort in it, too.
No, that's a good one. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, I don't know. My favorite, like, books, all I really read is comic books or, like, fan fiction.
Like anime
because I'm a giant nerd.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, probably, Princess and the Dressmaker.
Okay.
That one's, Prince and the Dressmaker. It's really good.
Okay.
Everyone should read it. So the inmates were in their little solitude and they didn't really have any like glimpse of people, but they also barely had any glimpse of sunlight. They had this like kind of like a little slit in the prison ceiling, and it was called the Eye of God. And that was where they could see sun.
Ew.
I know, it's like really messed up. And a lot of them in desperate need of like human interaction, they would try to like tap on the pipes or try to whisper through vents to try and talk to each other. But if they were caught doing that, they'd get punished really badly. And I have a couple of the punishments.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay. So the first one is the water bath. Do you have any guesses of like what it could be?
Like maybe a nice bath with some candles, some essential oils.
I mean, pretty close. Like, pretty close.
That's what I hope it is.
It's actually, they'd kill another one of the inmates and then make you bathe in their blood.
That's not real.
No, it's not.
I was going to say, that's not real. There's no way. Wait, that's not real, though.
Water bath. I mean.
You were joking?
I mean, that's a thing that people have done before.
But you.
But that's not what this is.
Okay, I was like.
Sorry. Okay, okay.
We're not talking about your fan fiction, Ryan.
Okay, so.
What actually happened?
They would be dunked in a bath of ice cold water and then hung from a wall for the whole night.
Oh my God.
And it happened a lot during the winter.
Oh no.
So basically, they'd be hanging there during the winter and the water on them would be like ice by morning.
Oh my God.
So that is like crazy. I was going to say freezer burn, but that happens to food. Was it frostbite?
Frostbite.
Yeah. That would be like everywhere.
That's always my least favorite thing to learn about, like, history-wise, is, like, punishment stuff that people did. I just can't believe how people were so evil.
It's funny that you say that, because the only thing I remember from my World War III, or not World War III, it was one of, like, World War II, I think.
Ryan's looking ahead.
It was, like, 2 or 1 or something. History class. But, like, right. Head of like the Italian army or something. I think he got like hung by his toes or something. Like, and they killed him.
See, I hate hearing about that stuff.
I think it's interesting. And it was like outside of a convenience store or something.
I just don't want to believe that humankind is capable of such.
Oh, humankind is capable like, of much more.
Bloody gore.
Much more
than. And I know, but it just sucks because I hate thinking about that. That's like the worst. That's why Strangers is my least favorite movie, is because it just. It's just human nature gone wrong. There's nothing else to it. These people just kill for fun.
Well, yeah.
What kind of person kills for fun?
A lot of people probably.
An
you
evil
just don't
person.
Know. Maybe someone down your street does.
That's my fear. That's like my greatest fear, is that just some rando, like even you. Honestly, you more than anyone else. I would not be surprised if I woke up one day and I read that you had murdered someone.
I'm not going to murder anybody.
You heard it here
first,
folks.
Don't give me that look. Oh, my goodness.
Fine. Innocent until you actually do it.
Innocent until proven guilty, but I'll take you on that. Okay. Okay. Another one was called the Mad Chair. Give me a guess on that one. I'll actually tell you what it is after you guess.
You said Mad Chair?
Mad Chair. Yeah.
I don't have a guess. No, the chair gets mad. They throw chairs at you.
That would be
like
really
dodgeball,
funny.
But with chairs.
I would love to see that. Oh my God, that happened at our school. Do you remember
that? Yeah, I heard about
that.
Yeah. I wasn't there, but I heard about it.
Terrible gym teacher. He had very bad anger issues.
Lots of gym teachers have very bad anger
they
issues.
They do.
I wonder what that's about.
I don't know why they think they can be around like children.
Right.
Doesn't make sense. Anyway, okay, so the Mad Chair. They did not play dodgeball with chairs. So basically, they would be sat in this chair, and there were straps on the chair for, like, your legs and your hands and stuff. And so they'd pull them so tight that you would barely be able to move, and they'd keep you like that until the circulation would, like you would just lose circulation. And they'd keep you there for, like, days on end, and you wouldn't get any food or anything. And I don't know how bad it feels to get the circulation.
Bad.
Like, does it feel really bad?
Bad.
Have you had that happen?
Well, I've, like, lost... You know, like, when your foot's asleep?
Oh.
But picture that all over your body. Yeah.
No, thank you. Okay.
No, thank you.
Another one was the iron gag.
They gag you with an iron fist?
No. Good guess, but no. So this was, like, the most deadly punishment. It was specifically designed for inmates who refused to obey the no communication policy.
Okay, I'm sorry, but there should be no deadly punishment. Like, if you're actually punishing someone because you want to see them get better or improve in some way, there should not be a risk of them dying.
Okay, see, that's the thing. I don't think they wanted them to improve at all.
No, they didn't, but then they have no right to call it punishment.
Well, they punishment, have to do that because that's how they sugarcoat it.
But that's not okay.
Well, okay, yeah, we know that that's not okay.
Right.
But they were like, haha, we also know that this isn't okay, but, like, they're evil, probably into evil it. They're people. Like, yeah. Ugh. So the iron collar was clasped onto the tongue of the inmate.
I hate tongue and then stuff.
Chained to the inmate's wrist, which were strapped high behind their back. This. Any movement resulted in tearing of the tongue and severe bleeding.
See, and I don't watch gore. I don't like gore movies. I don't like gore of any kind. I hate gore. So when you're describing it to me, it's still just as bad. I'm like, ew, 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 ew. I just want to go throw up now. That was disgusting. Ew.
That stuff I don't mind. It's like needles. I can't do anything with like needles or nails. I don't like that.
I just always can feel it happening to me as people describe it.
That's how I can do it with like needles and stuff. I guess, I don't know, I'm thinking of, there was a part in Saw, where there was, like, a thing, the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh, okay, so basically they would die from blood loss.
Oh.
For that one, yeah. The hole is the last one.
Mm, they throw you in a hole.
Basically. It's like, the movie Holes. That's what it's called. Isn't it Holes? And then they
there's lots of different, thing? Yeah, but there's lots of different movies where, like, people are thrown in a hole.
I couldn't think of one, though.
There's lots of movies where that just happens. Like, the bad guy has a hole, and you get put in it so you can't go anywhere.
That was in a Batman movie, the one with Bane, and I don't know what it's called.
Where, like, there's, like, a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
You get put in it.
So they weren't very original with this one. No. So maybe work on that if you're gonna torture people, but whatever. So the hole, it was literally nothing but a pit in the ground where inmates would stay locked sometimes for weeks. There was no light, little air, and those thrown into the...
Fiery pit of doom?
We'll go with that. Those who were thrown into the fiery pit of doom hole, they would get water and a slice of bread. But... I think that they would just, like, put it in there before they actually got in there because there was a chance that they just wouldn't have it because, like, rats and, like, roaches would get into it. So it's been reported that the Quakers were not responsible for the punishments the inmates were forced to endure. The extreme punishments were something that hired staff in the prison had designed and enforced. Charles Dickens visited the prison in 1840s. Do you know who Charles Dickens is?
Of course. He's a writer.
Okay, good. Because I knew the name, but I was like, oh, who is this? I know now, though. Okay. So he visited the prison in the 1840s and found the conditions appalling. He described the inmates in the Eastern Penitentiary as being buried alive. Okay, now we're getting to the ghost story part. So this one is kind of called, like, the locksmith. A locksmith doing restoration work on cell block number 4. According to the tale, he was working to remove a 140-year-old lock from the cell door when a massive force overcame him so powerfully he was unable to move. Some believe when he removed the key, it opened a gateway to the horrific past and offered the spirits caught behind its bars a pathway out.
Whoa.
So, like an open door Whoa. Thing. That is scary to me. The man spoke of experiencing an out-of-body state as he was drawn towards the negative energy which burst through the cell. Anguished faces appeared on the cell wall. Hundreds of distorted forms swirled around the cell block, and one dominating form seemed to beckon the locksmith to him. The man's experience was so vivid, years after, he would suffer in fear whenever he talked about it. So, that is terrifying. Imagine, like, a bunch of, like, weird faces coming out of the wall, and like I would guess like arms and things too.
Dang, that's trying crazy. To grab you.
That is like a very portal. Scary.
That's so scary.
And the penitentiary is actually open to the public.
Really? So,
well, you can go in and like have like tours and stuff.
Ooh, I thought you were gonna say and have lunch, and I was like, okay.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have lunch like with all the spirits inside. It's gonna be great. Pinkies up, bitches.
Huh. I kind of want to go visit it now.
It would be fun. I'm pretty sure it's still open. I mean, like, pandemic, no, it's not still open. Right. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're still, like, giving tours and everything. Because I know they had done it for a really long time. And people say, like, when they're getting tours and things, they can hear, like, whispers and people giggling and, like crying and all that kind of stuff.
Dang.
Mm-hmm.
That's super cool.
It is really cool. It'd be fun to go.
Yeah, it would. But I would totally go with you.
I'd be so scared, though, because, like, I already see stuff, so, like,
I wouldn't be scared to go with you. Like, if I had someone there with me, like, if it was me, you, or maybe me, you, and Krissa.
If it was during the daytime.
If mom was there, no spirits would come out.
That's true. Our mom is a living angel.
Yeah, she's, like, a saint. I wanted to ask you.
What?
Have you ever read or watched anything on the O.J. Simpson trial?
I think so. Not that much.
Because I finished the series on Netflix, the O.J. Simpson one. Like, do you think he did it or do you think he didn't?
I mean, he probably did it.
He didn't get convicted, but I think he did it. All the evidence pointed towards
him. Well, then why didn't he get convicted?
Because there was a whole, like, racial thing going on, too, of, like, like Black Power movement and stuff, that kind of thing. I don't know if Black Power movement is the right thing to call it, but where like they were using him as a
face,
the kind face of yeah. Like a
I don't know basically. What that's called.
I know I like can't. I can't.
Mascot, is that the right
something like that? I can't think of the right word, but yeah, they were like there was definitely so many different things that like conspired to like get him off.
Yeah.
And it kind of seems weird because it feels like it was all almost, like, meant to happen. Like, all the different things when you watch the show, it's like, just all of these things happened at just the right time to get him not convicted. It's super weird.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But it's also really sad because, and I didn't even know Nicole, like, his wife, Nicole, she's the one that was, I think he murdered, but technically innocent until proven guilty, I guess.
Yeah.
But I guess her boyfriend or guy that she was with, he was also murdered. And I had no idea. I literally did not know anything about that. I always thought, because all I'd heard was like, OJ killed his wife, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we were definitely after that time. Like, we wouldn't have been. So I never knew much about it. But then when I watched this, I was like, oh my gosh, like a whole other person was killed at the same time, but nobody ever heard anything about it because everyone was just focused on Nicole and OJ.
That's crazy.
So sad. Yeah. But anyway, okay, so my case is about the Denver Spider-Man.
Okay, I'm excited because this reminds me of, like, anything with the Florida Man.
The Florida Man?
Do you not know the Florida Man?
I don't. Tell me.
It's, like, it's just a bunch of, like, Florida Man. Like, Florida Man, because Florida Man does the craziest thing.
Oh, that's what you mean. Like, okay, okay.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like a murderer Florida
Man.
Okay,
I was like, oh, what's this Florida murderer? I was thinking like Slender Man or something, but okay. In Denver, it's October 1941. An elderly man had been found beaten to death in his small brick home in what we call today the Highlands.
Oh, dear Lord.
Neighbors, concerned when the gentleman had not shown up to a dinner party, discovered him. The crime was reminiscent of a horror scene, yet the truth about what happened to 73-year-old Philip Peters was very much stranger than any fiction a novelist could imagine.
Ooh.
I know, this one definitely, I totally, like, looked on Reddit, and this one, because I was like, creepiest true crime.
And this one
came up on Reddit, and I was like, ooh. So 73-year-old Philip Peters was found bludgeoned to death in his home at 3335 West Moncrief Place on Friday, October 17th of 1941. Police said his head was smashed with a heavy stove shaker, and at first, his horrific homicide had police stumped with no motive or suspect.
What is a stove shaker?
No idea. I mean, it's probably just an old tool that you use in the kitchen.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, just like some kind
of... Something, yeah.
Kitchen utensil, yeah. Nothing had been taken from the home, so robbery was unlikely.
Hmm.
Peters was a retired auditor from Denver and Rio Grande Western Railroad. The killer took time to wash his hands and to wipe off the murder instrument, so he could have taken time for the robbery, Detective Captain James E. Childers told the Denver Post in the days after the crime. The elderly man had no enemies, making revenge an unlikely motive as well. His wife, who had just broken her hip, was not at home, but in the hospital, and neighbors were keeping an eye out for Mr. Peters. Fingerprints were found, but yielded no leads as they were just from neighbors, Mr. Peters or his wife. Those same neighbors found him on Saturday evening sprawled on the floor of a bedroom inside his home. Blood was everywhere. Newspaper articles in the Denver Post reported scores of detectives were placed on the case. So lots and lots of detectives.
Mm-hmm.
Police described the brutal slaying as without mercy, as blood had even spattered onto the ceiling and was spread in different rooms throughout the home.
Damn.
It was evident Peters had struggled during the assault, and police said he fought back using several walking canes. Good for him.
Yeah.
He died after being struck 37 times with the cast iron makeshift weapon. So I think you're right. It was kind of like a frying pan type of thing.
Rapunzel did it.
Detective Childers was frustrated. It took 9 months until detectives would get a break. If you hear slobbering, it's my dog. I'm so sorry. She's being very needy right now. In July 1942, a woman called the police. She told officers in a shaky voice she had been hired to help Mrs. Peters around the house, one of two women who did so after the widow's husband had been killed. Soon after she began staying in the house, she heard strange noises. Today, though, she actually saw something. Just a few minutes ago, I heard a sort of tapping. I had heard it before, but I thought it was only some woodpeckers. But this time I walked into the kitchen and I saw the door to the stairway that leads upstairs slowly open.
That is scary,
she told the police. The Denver Post quoted her in their February 7th, 1960 edition of the Denver Post Empire, which was an interview with the case's lead detective, decades after the crime had been solved. A foot came out, and then I saw a thin white hand on the door. I screamed, and the man ducked behind into the stairway, and I heard him running up the steps, the housekeeper told the police. Whoa. Police responded immediately and searched the home. They found nothing. The upstairs bedrooms looked entirely normal, and the panels which appeared to go to the attic via the ceiling had been sealed shut. The housekeepers, terrified, refused to return to the home, and Mrs. Peters was moved back to the hospital for care while police investigated.
That's so scary!
Right?
Oh my gosh.
Two detectives were assigned to guard the house until they saw or heard something. Days passed. Nothing. The detectives were pulled from their watch. Then another lucky break. On Thursday, July 30th, detectives in the neighborhood found something. Two policemen in the area had stopped by to check on the place, and as they were searching the first floor, they heard a lock turning in a door upstairs. Detective Roy Bloxham opened a closet door, and there he saw a pair of legs disappearing upward through a tiny panel into the attic.
Whoa, wait.
He lunged, pulled the mystery man's legs until he clattered to the ground, and then called his captain. Now, Police Chief James Childers described this man as the strangest-looking human I had ever seen. He was a tall man, just under 6 feet, but thin as a wilted weed. His dirty hair hung low over his ears, and his skin was the ugly, unwashed gray of an overcast sky. His shoes and clothes were rotted and torn. One of the officers told Childers the man had been living in the home since September, nearly a year. And no one had noticed. No one except, perhaps, Mr. Peters.
Oh, that's terrifying. That is so scary.
It's so scary. The man told police his name was Matthew Cornish, but really it was Theodore Conies. After feeding him a hamburger, apple pie, and some coffee, police began questioning the transient on Peters' murders. The 59-year-old man had kept one panel unlocked to the crawl space above the home, and would lock it from the inside when he retreated to his attic abode. At first, he denied it. Then he proceeded to tell the truth, which was very much stranger than any fiction indeed. Conies had come to Denver as a sick boy with his widowed mother, and actually met the Peters when he joined a mandolin and guitar club. He had been invited to their home several times. When his mom died, he left Denver and became a bit of a lost soul, drifting from town to town. In April 1941, he returned to Denver as a homeless person, sleeping in alleys and doorways and spending a dime a day on food. As the weather turned cooler in September, he remembered his old friend Phil Peters. With Peter's gone at the hospital to visit his wife, Koenigs let himself into the home, raided the fridge for food, and discovered a loose panel leading up to the attic. The space was 27 inches high and 57 inches wide. He made it his home. It looked like a good place to hole up for the winter, he told detectives. So he stayed. And when the house was vacant, he would slip downstairs and steal some food, just a bit at a time so as not to draw suspicion. He cut into the house's wiring system to install an outlet in the attic. He stockpiled the Peter's canned food. He even built a makeshift radio to stay in touch with the outside world. That's so smart. Like, he murdered someone so awful, but like...
It is smart, kind of smart to do that. He's still creepy.
Koenigs' ghostly existence was disturbed one evening as he had slipped downstairs to make some coffee. He thought Peters was out to dinner, but the homeowner instead entered through his back door as the unwanted house guest was standing at the kitchen stove. Koenigs hit Peter over the head with an old .44 caliber revolver in the kitchen, and Peters, stunned, moved to the living room to call the police. Hitting Peters again, Koenigs told police he thought he had knocked him out and he planned to take some money and leave. Instead, he heard Peters in the bedroom. That's when he told the police he beat the elderly man with the stove shaker until he was still. Stranger still, Koenigs continued to stay in the home. He heard the news of Peter's death on his makeshift radio while hiding in the tiny attic above the very room in which he killed the old man. Eventually, police detectives returned to the home to see Koenigs' habitat. The stench of it made one officer vomit.
Oh.
On Halloween of 1942, a jury took just 90 minutes to convict Koenigs guilty of murder. He was given life in prison instead of the gas chamber. Upon his sentencing, Koenigs was quoted to say, "Now I feel safe. I'll have a better home than I've had in years." That's really sad. He was imprisoned in Cannon City until his death in 1967. And that is the Stranger Than Fiction story of the Denver Spider-Man.
So, like, would he use their bathroom or was he, like, pooping in the attic?
I mean, because of the smell, I'm guessing he was pooping in the attic.
That's what I'm thinking.
And I wonder where he was putting all the food. Because, like, I know he would. But then again, I'm sure that he used the bathroom when they were gone.
Yeah,
but I think definitely during the times that they weren't gone and he had to go, I mean, what else is he supposed to do? So he was probably definitely doing something. Like, yeah. So, yeah, that's my story. Yeah, I thought that was so creepy.
It's so creepy.
It's so sad, though. I hate when that happens, though, like, when people get killed because one of them gets scared.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because it's, like, literally, if you could have just communicated, this probably could have all been solved with, like, a conversation rather than you murdering someone.
Yeah.
So sad. I just hate that, but creepy as heck.
So what if someone was living in your, I mean, I don't think you have an attic, but if someone was living in your, like, attic or inside your walls or something, do you think you'd know?
No.
Would you ever set up cameras if you had, like, a suspicion?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd set up cameras. I wouldn't. I'd have someone do it.
Would you watch the camera feed back or make someone else do it?
I'd make someone else do it.
I know. I'm not sure if I would either. I would totally watch your camera footage, though. I don't know if I'd watch my own, but I'd watch yours. Just because, like, I don't live in that house, so it's okay.
And it'd be kind of scary to watch, like, live footage, too. Like, I don't know. That would just be
creepy. Live footage? No way. That's terrifying.
Especially if you're, like, fast-forwarding, because then, like, you might see a blimp, and you're like, what the fuck was that?
See, I would never record myself sleeping and watch it back.
That's creepy. Never. Mm-mm. I don't want to know. If there's someone watching over me at night, I just don't want to know about it.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Anyway, okay, so I think that wraps up episode 14. I hope you guys enjoyed. I had a good time. I thought these were some creepy, creepy stories.
They were some creepy, creepy stories.
So next week will be episode 15, and we're probably just going to do whatever we want for it, like always. Yeah. So do you have a joke or something? I like want to end it on something. Like, do you have a joke?
Ba-da-bum. A joke.
Oh, knock, knock.
Don't hit me again.
It was like, do you remember? It's not that, though.
I know.
Not yet.
You don't have very many jokes.
I don't. I literally make two.
What's your other one?
The knock knock. It's a. It actually is a different one.
Who's there?
All of my jokes are knock knock jokes. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange. Dang orange. It. I said it wrong. I said it wrong. Every single
time. No, isn't it orange? And then you keep saying orange and you're like,
oh, yeah.
Then you say no, banana.
No, I'm supposed to say orange. Banana.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, you're like, right. Oh, you got
it. Never mind. No joke because I can't do anything right. I'm awful. I'm just going to go take a water bath. But, like, seriously, I'm sorry, like, to all the victims of water baths. Like, that's seriously awful and horrible. And I'm not making light of it, but.
You.
I was just making a joke. I'm pretty sure that's get a sense of humor. I hope people don't get water baths anymore, so I hope it's not a thing nowadays.
Nope, now it's waterboarding.
If it was, I'll fight it. I'll give you're money to the it. Donation. I'll donate.
You'd end up donating to it on accident.
Yeah. Yeah, like for. I'd be like, dang it, I thought this was like for it, not like, we're for it.
I mean, like, same.
Okay, well, in your review, if you leave a review, please leave a review.
Tell us how much
let me know
suck.
If you think OJ did it. Even though that's, like, not really what we talked okay. about. Also, let us know if there's any other cases you guys want us to cover, like, mm-hmm. specifically. Because we'll def do requests. So, if we ever get any. Or we'll just keep doing what we want because nobody requests anything. That's fine.
Yeah. We do our own thing.
Yeah.
We're good that.